countrywide on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by the Irish Farmers Journal. Now with our highest ever readership of 321,000 weekly readers.
But first, it's been another sleepless night across Europe. Early in the night, crowds gathered in solidarity with Ukraine. This is the sound of Latvians singing the Ukrainian national anthem outside the Russian embassy in Riga. Through the night, it's been possible to watch live CCTV from the empty streets of Kyiv. In the early hours of this morning, the crump of a city under fire. And before we came on air, I contacted Yuri Mikhailov.
Hello.
Hello, Yuri. An old friend and an agricultural journalist living in Ukraine.
Okay, I'm glad to hear you.
Yuri, where are you right now?
Right now, I'm in Kyiv in my apartment.
What sort of a night has it been for you there?
Oh, it was a terrible night. I woke at 2 a.m. in the morning because of sounds of the bombing. Now, situation is calm. Yesterday, the public transportation completely stopped. But now I can see from a window that public transportation is again operating. I see people walking, pedestrians. I see some cars moving by. I see some transportation like trams and buses. When I hear the bombshells, I go out and try to go to a nearby park because authorities warned us that in case of direct hit to the apartment building, they are prone to collapse.
What about shops and food supplies?
Yesterday, the shelves were half empty. There was no bread or crackers, something like that. And in some cases, pasta. But yesterday, most of ATMs were empty of cash. Yesterday, most of the drugstores were closed, but officials said that drugstores are open at hospitals.
And Yuri, you're the largest grain-growing country and exporters of grain and seeds in Europe. How is food production and farming going to be affected? Because this will have a knock-on effect for everybody.
Yes, I well understand that it will have a very big effect on a world market. At the moment, all Ukrainian ports are shut down. No shipment to or from Ukraine. And some trading companies like ADM or Bunge, they closed their offices. So at the moment, I believe there is no contracting of the future crop. And 2-3 weeks could be the planting season, but one may expect a shortage of inputs like fuel because of the necessity of the military and the fertilizers because to produce nitrogen fertilizers, one must use the natural gas. And also, I think that there will be problems with obtaining loans for farmers.
And Yuri, you've decided to stay in Kyiv. Is it possible to get out of danger? Why are you staying on there?
From the very beginning, I and my wife decided that we will not leave Kyiv. And one of the reasons we cannot leave even now is that I don't have a car. And without a car, it's now practically impossible to leave Kyiv. There is now a martial law in Ukraine, so males from 18 years old till 60 are not allowed to leave Ukraine. I'm 67, so I could leave Ukraine if I would like to cross the border. And my wife also is 67. But we are not very desire, have no big desire to leave Ukraine. We want to leave to see what's going on, what will happen, and maybe to help some of people who resist the war occupation. So, yes, I understand that I'm risking here, that my life may be ended at any moment, but I'm preparing myself for it. So I'm not very scared about this. I lived my life practically completely well, so I'm not very afraid of possible death at, in a nearby future.
Well, let's hope it does not come to that, Yuri. Stay safe and thank you for joining us on the programme this morning. And much love to you and everybody there from all of us here in Ireland.
Thank you, Damien.
Yeah, that's Yuri Mykolyov there, one of the top agricultural reporters and journalists in Ukraine, speaking to me from his apartment in Kiev this morning. Our thoughts are with the people of Ukraine, as I said there. But of course, the impact of this conflict will be felt beyond its borders in every aspect of our own daily lives. Professor Alan Matthews joins me now to outline some of the impacts that we can expect, maybe in the experience and the prices of food and farming. Alan, good morning.
Good morning, Damien.
Now, we were listening to Yuri there. The price, telling us about the ports closed and ahead of the sowing planting season in a couple of weeks' time, there may be scarce inputs to grow these crops. What could all this mean for food supplies and food prices?
I think it's going to have quite a significant impact. Ukraine, over the past two decades, has become a real agricultural powerhouse. As Yuri mentioned there, it's now the world's second largest grain exporter after the U.S., largest exporter of sunflower oil and a range of other commodities. And we're going to see disruption in those supplies. As Yuri mentioned, the Ukrainian ports are now closed. For the European Union, we depend on Ukraine for about a quarter of our cereal and vegetable oil imports, around a half of our maize or corn imports going into animal feed. So I would see the first impacts probably on the in the animal feed market. However, a lot of Ukraine exports, particularly of wheat, go to Mediterranean countries. And we shouldn't forget the dependence of countries like Egypt, Lebanon, and so on those supplies. So even though we will be affected in Europe very immediately, we should also think of these other countries that will probably suffer even more.
Yeah, and as you say there, the price of many inputs that are key to growing food here in this country, they have gone up in recent times and continue to go up. So are we expecting here maybe to see an increase in food prices as a result?
I think, as you say, we already are seeing an increase in both agricultural producer prices, but also in food prices to consumers. I think the big unknown, Damien, here is the other impact. The other player here is, of course, Russia. As we know, the European Union has imposed sanctions on various Russian entities and personalities. And we don't know yet, so this is purely speculative, what Russia's reaction to those sanctions is going to be. You recall that in 2014, when the European Union imposed sanctions on Russia at that time for its invasion of Crimea, Russia responded by closing its market for various EU agri-food exports, particularly fruits, dairy products, and meats. That market completely disappeared. However, there are other agri-food exports that continue to be sold to Russia, so they could be targeted, for example. Mm. But the big unknown is, of course, natural gas and energy supplies. If Russia were to turn off the tap on those, it has sort of threatened that it could do that, it hasn't done so yet, then there would be a very significant knock-on effect, particularly on fertilizer prices. As Yuri mentioned, natural gas is the main component in the production of ammonia, which goes into most sort of nitrogen fertilizers. So that would be a potential impact if that were to come to pass.
It's an awful, dreadful, dreadful mess. But most importantly, we feel for the people of Ukraine this morning, first and foremost. Alan Matthews, as always, thank you so much for taking our call on Countrywide. We'll chat to you maybe in a few weeks about other issues to do with the Common Agricultural Policy, which you know is a great area, one of the areas of expertise for you. Well, music has been played in solidarity with Ukraine in Riga, Latvia, as we heard earlier. And outside his cottage on the shores of Clew Bay, Patrick Dexter, a cellist who has played for us on the programme here in Countrywide in the past, he played this piece of music. It's by the Ukrainian composer Mykola Leontovich, and it's called Shederik. Shederik by the Ukrainian composer Mykola Leontovich, played by Patrick Dexter, whom you can follow, of course, on Twitter. Now, moving